This is Phil Rowe.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
And to our featured interview this morning, the focus at Cambridge Remap is to give people independence because they know how important this is. Many people have a physical impairment of some sort, but your life changes if you have to rely on others all the time. By making a piece of equipment specially and specifically for an individual, tailored to their needs, Remap, that's what they do, can often help them become that bit more independent. Remap gives disabled people the joy of independence. Pippa Cousins, the Secretary and Treasurer of Cambridge Remap, joined me recently. Pippa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Remap, what does it stand for? Is it an acronym?
It is. It stands for Rehabilitation Engineering Movement Advisory Panels. Bit of a mouthful.
You have a national website. We'll give listeners details of that towards the end of the interview.
Thank you.
I must admit, when I went to the search engine for the local area around Cambridge, I actually had something to do with remapping engines, but I don't really understand that. But if you've got a car, you can retune it. This is very different. But what you are doing, there are perhaps a few similarities to explain to listeners exactly what Remap does. You are able to adapt people who have got some disabilities' lives. You can make a custom equipment, which is what you do as an organisation nationally. Around Cambridge, you do this as well. So you must have quite an army of very practical people.
We have 11 engineers associated with Cambridge Panel, 7 mechanical, 3 electrical and 1 civil.
Does it mean that you are looking for volunteers, not necessarily engineers at the moment, because I'm delighted to hear, maybe it's because of the area we live in around Mid Anglia where we've got Cambridge and we have such a high technology city, Pippa, that does mean we have lots of engineers available. You actually have enough engineers at the moment.
We do, yes. Actually, we were at the Volunteer for Cambridge Day a couple of weeks ago and we managed to recruit 4 potential new engineers. So we have a good crop of engineers at the moment, but we are rather short of admin support and fundraising and publicity. So those are areas, if anybody would like to help with, we'd be delighted with their help.
So find out more about Remap. Yourself then, where do you fit in?
So I used to work for the NHS. I managed a wheelchair service. I was managing engineers, occupational therapists, physiotherapists and an admin team. And so those skills have pretty much transferred across to Remap. I'm doing the same job effectively, only unpaid.
There's a big applied limb centre at Addenbrookes on the biomedical campus at Addenbrookes Hospital.
Yes.
And I know that has a lot of involvement as well with the University of Cambridge. So they are looking at all the time ways of adapting maybe basic wheelchairs, Zimmer frames to special needs for, because everybody's different. Those that have maybe had a stroke will need extra assistance, maybe some mechanical hand, something electromechanical, maybe something electronic as well. Let's think of a person that's coming to the organisation. Well, first of all, how do they get hold of you, Pippa?
Well, there are 2 ways. They can self-refer to us. So if they come across us on the web, our details are on there, they can get in touch. Alternatively, if they have an occupational therapist, a large majority of our referrals come from occupational therapists who are unable to solve that particular person's problem with the existing equipment available. So they get in touch with us and ask us to make something specifically for them.
So it might be a person who's now bedridden, needs some way of using their tablet or maybe one of their e-readers because they can't use their limbs, their fingers maybe are not working, or one of their hands is either, it could be missing. So presumably you're making prosthetics or adaptations to maybe some withered limbs to help people both move around or not just necessarily do day-to-day things, but maybe carry out some hobbies and pastimes.
Yes, so the large majority of what we do relates to hobbies and sports because occupational therapists generally supply equipment for the day-to-day stuff and that there is a lot of equipment out there specifically aimed at that area, which is great. Sometimes it's not quite right and we're asked to modify it. But the things that we're making from scratch are quite often things for hobbies, where a person with a particular disability wants to be able to achieve something less usual, and there's not something out there to help them with that.
There's been a programme, actually, you've probably seen it, I think it was on BBC Two Television in the evenings recently, on weekday evenings.
Yes, it was called The Big Life Fix.
That's right.
And REMAP was involved with that, advising on the type of projects that they took on and then providing support to the individuals afterwards.
On that programme, there were three different individuals, each with different or less ability. Somebody that maybe wanted to go snowboarding or skiing.
Yes.
Or even just to get in a canoe and try to row it without saying having one hand.
Yeah.
So that it was the adaptability of maybe using the elbow or something below the shoulders level so you could connect mechanically and all with a hinge system. Fantastic. Sometimes even to adapt to GPS systems so that people's retinal scans could activate a screen so they could, yeah, I don't know, go off on Coniston Water for a couple of miles.
They had some amazing projects on that programme. Generally speaking, the type of projects we do are much lower tech than what you were seeing on that programme. So what we do is a little bit more basic, mainly because of the type of equipment that we have access to and the amount of money that we have to spend, and also what we get asked to do locally.
But it's very important. The little things in life, we always say,
yes,
can make a big difference.
They can. Yes, they can transform people's lives.
Is it trial and error with the gadgets you come up with for people? So you meet someone, they've been referred to you, as you said earlier on. The next thing is you find out their needs. Do they come face to face with your design engineers?
Yes. So if there's an occupational therapist involved, the engineer will meet with the client and the occupational therapist together to get an idea of what both of those people are expecting from the project. If there isn't an occupational therapist involved, that's fine. The engineer will just go and meet the client and discuss what they want to achieve and what's possible.
And do you work at prototype level? There has to be a bit of trial and error, because even though you perhaps want to measure up the idea of the concept, the person's need, who's going to be on the receiving end of these wonderful, small, simple, low-cost gadgets, but they're fantastic. By the way, listeners, we've got a few in the studio, and we're going to be using our descriptive powers in just a little while to go through some of the items, and I can see if I can work out what exactly they're all for. But do you sometimes think, oops, that was a bit of a failure, the Mark 1 version? Sometimes we go to Mark 2?
Yes, 3, 4 or 5 sometimes. It depends what it is and how well the engineer has understood exactly what the client wants to achieve. And sometimes those requirements can change as the project goes along. If the client's condition is degenerative and it's taking a little time for the engineer to build something, things can change as they go along. So often it necessitates 2, 3, 4 visits.
And the materials used by these engineers, I have this idea that they're probably using a garden shed somewhere with a nice workbench in, and maybe a lathe if they're lucky, but certainly with a pillar drill and other items, even if it's more basic things like screwdrivers and files. But they need materials. They're using aluminium, maybe some plastics, some steels. They need adhesives.
Yeah.
But it's kind of make do and mend from everyday things, as we're going to find out in just a little while.
Yes.
But it does cost.
Yes,
and
it does.
So how does it work for the engineers in terms of reimbursement?
So they claim all their out-of-pocket expenses, and their mileage is also paid, so it doesn't cost the engineer anything. It also doesn't cost the client anything. We fundraise in order to cover the costs of what we make for them.
National organisation, you've got the power of REMAP. Making things possible is your logo. How is the fundraising achieved?
Well, it's actually done at local level, and in the Cambridge area, that's down to me, filling out lots of application forms for funding, writing letters to people, and generally raising awareness so that people know what we do and then realise the benefit of it and consider making a donation.
Interested in this? I'll give you the website details at this stage, remap.org.uk. It's remap.org.uk if you want to find out more about how REMAP makes things possible for people who would like to play the piano again, would like to be able to walk up Penygent or Scarfell Pike, some of our big peaks in the Lake District, to be able to do that, just go out with a dog in your wheelchair so the dog can go roaming around the park and you can lead the dog. And maybe you've lost a limb, maybe something's happened in your life, or maybe you didn't have all of your digits when you were born. But you people make a big, big difference. We've got some items in the studio that Pippa has brought with her today.
Yes.
We'll start with one that looks actually very much, I suppose, like a cheese knife that you'd find plastic handled, stainless steel, I think, serrated edge to the stainless steel. It's sort of blunt ended, so it's not particularly sharp. It'd never be a dagger or anything like that. And on the other end, we have a piece of plastic, which, if I go end on with it, I can't really make a letter out of it. I suppose the nearest I can get is this. It's sort of a G shape, I would think. Pepper, obviously, it's a knife, therefore
yes,
it's for cutting.
Yes.
How did this come about?
So that's part of a cutlery set that we made for a client who has hypersensitive palms of the hands. And so she can't grip cutlery in the normal way. It's very painful. So a cutlery set was made. These plastic-handled cutlery were mounted onto the top of a piece of drain pipe, which, believe it or not, was then heated and bent round the shape of the back of her hand, so that the drain pipe goes over the top of the back of the hand and underneath the thumb so that it can be held in place and it's not touching the palm of her hand in any way.
And the interesting piece about the design is that then she can use the knife, but in a right angles to what we think on axis. Obviously, we use a knife pretty much on axis with our limbs, in other words, straight ahead. In this case, the person who's receiving this can chop sideways or cut sideways.
Yes, it's at right angles to the way the hand is facing.
And it's a genius idea because Pippa's demonstrating to me, this is radio, but trying to make it visual for the listeners. So Pippa's thumb is slipping in, using her right hand, yeah. Is slipping into part
in
of the PVC.
Cradle.
Great PVC.
Yeah.
Bit
yes.
of gutter pipe.
Gutter.
Which
yeah.
has been beautiful. And a bit of epoxy resin,
yes.
which is fixing the knife on. So really, you've only got three elements. If,
yes.
if you count the glue, the resin, and it's been thought of, and it's very clever.
Yeah.
I think it's in the concept, isn't it? As much as making the thing.
Yes.
Coming up with the design
yeah.
here. You've got some other bits you've brought in as well. One looks like a bicycle bell on a black strap. I would almost think that I was going to put it on my handlebars of my push bike, but it's more than that. It looks like the case of a bike, a good old-fashioned bicycle bell. But Pippa's opening it up at the moment, and it's got a stainless steel lid to it. If we can get it open,
yeah.
which we've just done, and I can see the contents inside have just settled a little bit as Pippa's been down on her bicycle today. We've got a strap, a black strap, which is adjustable.
Yeah.
We'll start with the strap. Where does the strap go around?
So the strap is Velcro, and it attaches around the top of the leg. So this was actually designed for a fisherman who only had use of one hand and wanted to bait his hook, but couldn't do it one-handed. He could do all of the other tasks associated with setting up for fishing, just couldn't bait his hook. So this little device straps onto his leg.
And it's a small tin, really.
It is. It's a small tin, pot riveted onto the strap. Inside the tin is what's called therapeutic putty. It's what a physiotherapist would give you if you need to strengthen your grip of your hands, and you squeeze it in your hands and it sort of squishes around, but it's quite firm.
Which is what Pippa is doing right now, putting the putty then back into this little tin. The tin is about 4 centimetres circular in diameter. What's the putty for?
So the putty would hold the fishing hook nice and secure. So you would put the fish hook into the putty, it would hold it nice and secure, and then the bait could be attached onto the hook with just one hand.
And I can see you can quite clearly, very easily, Pippa, just use a finger
yes.
and make an impression,
yeah.
like a fingernail mark, whatever, into the putty, surface of the putty. But it's very easy as well to then smooth it back down.
Yes.
I see. So it's like a helping hand.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
And that means somebody can be very content, go out on a fishing party or on their own on a fishing bank somewhere, yeah, and now feel that they can bait their hooks.
Yes, without needing help.
And it gives someone a freedom.
It does.
And some feeling of independence.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And we've got one third and final prop to describe to listeners as well. We put the hook priming fishing bait putty. I think we'd have to come up with a
better
snazzy
title,
yes,
for that.
Yes, something we could trademark, a yes, copyright. You could make a lot of money if we did that. We've got some aluminium, which has been bent. It's been smooth, so again, it's not got sharp edges on it. Somebody has lovingly crafted it. Again, I can't really, if I profile it from on the side, I can't really give it a letter of the alphabet. It's got a loose bracket on it, which you can hear, which is more like a pipe clamp, I suppose, but something, yeah, I suppose you could put around a rod or a tube.
Yes.
Pippa, what's it for?
So this was an armrest which was made for somebody who was bedbound and their elbow was fixed in a particular position, and it was very uncomfortable for them to be in that position long term. So they're in bed all day and all night with their arm fixed in a particular position. So this armrest was made. The type of bed they had was one of those hospital beds that has a rail on the side. So this little plastic clamp at the bottom clamped onto the rail of the bed. Then there's an aluminium section which is bent, and on top of that is mounted, again, some drain pipe, which forms a little cradle for the person's arm to go into. It's lined with some craft foam, and over the top of that is a little socket, so that that can be washed and reused.
And it looks very comfortable, and it's scooped out, hollowed out in the shape of the profile
half
of the person.
Half a drain pipe, yeah.
So, are you using half a drain pipe
half
again?
Half a drain pipe, yeah.
You must have some stock lengths of drain pipe available for everyone in Remap, yeah, that's going around all the time. Oh, well, you know, I'll have half a metre off and someone else needs a metre off that. Yeah. So it's a bit like an armrest, I suppose. A little stubbier than an airline or aircraft seat armrest, or one, again, that you could pop up if you're on a train. But sort of similar, but ergonomically, far more comfortable, and then the person can relax their arm on there.
That's right, yeah.
One thing I saw when I was volunteering for Cambridge, because I came over to see you at the stand that you had there in the Guildhall, yeah, recently, was, you couldn't really bring it with you today, it's a bit bulkier, but of all the things I saw, this was actually the next degree up of sophistication. Again, it was one of these fire readers, if you like, one of the e-books that we could say the brand, but we probably shouldn't. And the person liked to go to bed and have a read of the latest novel that they're enjoying electronically, but the person couldn't operate the page-turning buttons or move their fingers over the touchscreen, or indeed turn the device off.
That's right. They had very poor finger dexterity, and those little buttons on the side can be very difficult to press if you don't have good dexterity.
And so you'd come up with something a bit like a wooden pedals that you might find on a church organ. And
yes,
there was a couple of those.
Yes.
So they sit on the floor. The person could use their feet to press down, a little bit of spring force. Then you had something a bit like a bike's brake cable.
It was, in fact, bike brake cables, well remembered.
Two of those.
Yes.
And on the end of the cable, at the other end, at the business end, somebody honed out a piece of aluminium. I think,
yes,
that the term is, the engineers would say, well, mill it, so that you've made a flat bed.
Yes.
Just big enough to very snugly fit an e-reader.
Yes.
Book reader into.
Yes.
So the person can sit with that, presumably just on their lap or just sitting up in bed. And what you'd done, or your engineers had designed very cleverly, were two little prong needle-like steel needles, which are on the other end of the brake cables, at the top end.
Yes.
And they would press the buttons.
Yes. So the brake cables pressed levers, which then pressed those little buttons to turn the page. So one was forward and one was back.
And presumably, I think if you did them both together, maybe you can turn the device off, but I don't have them. But very clever. In terms of, and beautifully machined and engineered. You,
yeah,
need someone I know that has that can jig up a milling machine to do that,
yeah,
with a large piece of aluminium. So well done, whoever it was, wherever they were, around the region, presumably. So how many projects have you got ongoing at any one time that are either in the research, development and production stage, then, Pippa?
We probably have about 12 to 15 projects going on at any one time. We do about between 50 and 60 a year in the Cambridge area, but some of them take longer than others. So some projects can take a month to get them off the books, and some can take over a year.
We'll give contact information out in a minute. Pippa, people listening to this will probably wonder what area the Cambridge Remap group covers geographically.
So we cover Cambridge City, as you'd expect, but also up as far as Ely, Huntingdon, Camborne, Meldrith, Saffron Walden, Haverhill, Bury St Edmunds, Mildenhall. So quite a wide area.
Pippa Cousins, Secretary and Treasurer of Cambridge Area Remap, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And you can contact the Cambridge Group of Remap by using the contact form on their national website. That is remap.org.uk. Remap is R-E-M-A-P. Remap.org.uk. And they'll put you in touch with Pippa.